Very few people that I know would realise the state of poverty that existed in this country when we were fighting the economic war with our friends across the water. At that time, there was a duty, a tariff on every single solitary thing that we produced in this country, with the result that we were living in poverty. Now, there was no hunger, but there was no money. There was absolutely no money. And at that time, we went to school in the London Dairy and Lost Willie Railway. And I saw it all, and saw it all with the customer. This is a perfectly true story. As I said, in those times, nobody had any money, and there was a family that lived below Buncrana, someplace between Buncrana and Dunree. And that a child died when it was 8 or 9 days of age. It wasn't stillborn, but it lived for a few days. And they were at their wits' end to know what to do. There was no money for a funeral, there was no money for a wake, there was no money for anything. So I went to the local priest. And the priest told them that they would just carry the child to the cemetery in Clonmany, and that he would give the lady the name of a man in Derry who would make a wee coffin for the infant and only charge for the timber that made it. So the lady left and walked 7 or 8 miles into Buncrana, went to Derry, and had the coffin made in Derry, and the charge was £3. I was in the carriage. She went into the carriage and said, "This, the coffin that the wee bit bigger than, but the size of the cord in there," and she had it rolled up in cardboard, and she had difficulty getting it up on the, to see up on the hill rack in the railway carriage, and there was a gentleman there, and he helped her to get the parcel wedged up on the rack. And we came to the border, and there was one gentleman there. He was a nurse-way gentleman. He was known as Wanta Wally. He was the king of all the custom men that was at Bridgend. He was the worst of them. The train stopped, and Hunter Willie bounced into the carriage. Inglable. Who owns that? And he pointed up to the package up in the rack. And the lady says, "It's mine." "What's in that?" Or she says, "There's nothing in it. It's a wee coffin that we have." "Where did you get that? Where did you purchase that?" She said, "I got it made in Derry." "And what did that cost you?" "It cost me £3. "Well, that's subject to a duty of 33 1/3% on its ad valorem value." She says, "That is subject to a pound duty before it enters the state." And the lady was very annoyed. And she says, "I haven't got a pound." "Oh," she says, tell me another. "Tell me you haven't got a pound." "No," she said, "I haven't." And she drew out her purse and she counted it out and she had 3 and 6 pence. Now, I can tell you for a solid fact that that was all the money that family possessed at that day, was 3 and 6 pence. "Well, Wanta Willie says, "And that case is nothing for me but to seize the merchandise." And he reached up to seize the coffin. And the lady started to cry. She started to roll out of her. And the gentleman that had helped her to put the thing up in the rack, he says to Wanta Willie, he says, "Hold on a minute," he says. And he put his hand in his pocket and he got out a pound and he gave it to Wanta Willie. And he says, "Here," he says, "there's the duty paid on the coffin." And he says, "I hope whenever you go to bed tonight that you'll be able to sleep." "Oh, by God," Wanta Willie says, "I'll sleep all right. I have a duty to do and I'll perform it." Well, that lady was still crying when we came to the station at Lynch Road. She was in desperate state. Well, that story got out. It stank worse than anything ever we'd heard before. About what the Willie going to charge this woman in the coffin. And a lady had a pub in Bridge End. She was Alice Gamble. Alice's pub was famous. And there was two men, just shortly after the sentence by the coffin, there was two men drinking there. Now, in those days, you could have got drunk on half a crown. And these men were tradesmen. Been walking at an old barn someplace or carpenter's tools for them. And the crack came round about on the Wally and the woman in the wee coffin. And one of the men says to the other, he said, I know where that old bugger is now. He says, he's on an unimproved road up there, because the Grove Road. He's up there behind a bush. He's up there every night at this time of night. And one slipped out now, and one slipped out again. And they went up. And Hunter Woolley was back in a bush. And the two boys tackled him. And this time they were half shot. And the two boys tackled him, and they put him down the road, and they gave him one damn good hammering. And there was an old lint dam where they were, had put lint out of the dam a few days before. And there was a stinking old hole. And they were going to trail him up, dump him in the lump dam. Now this is a solid fact. And Alan says, hold on a minute, he says. If you howl him, he says, I'll saw the head of the bastard. And they were that drunk that I think Winter Wally would have lost his head. But at that stage there was a light came, somebody went out the road on a bicycle, and the two boys jumped over the ditch and they left Winter Wally on the road. And the boys stopped on the bicycle and got him up, and got him down the length of the frontier post. And they seen to him there as best they could, but he had a broken rib or something. And the guards were out the next morning, post-haste, inquiring who the miscreants were. Now, there wasn't a man, woman or child about Bridge End who knew who had tackled Winter Wally. And that was all that was about it. And Walter Woolley was changed to a different station and never seen back again in Bridge End. I was at school at the time.
How did you ever get the name Winter Woolley?
I suppose it was someone as decoratory as what they could think of. That's what we thought of, how we were terrorized at that time.
Well, he was certainly cold-hearted.